Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 33 of Giant Conversations. I'm here with Dominik Schmittler. Dominik, how are you?
Thanks, I'm fine. Very happy to be here.
Today, Dominik and I are going to be talking about monitoring and observability in the, what could I say, the Kubernetes ecosystem. Would that be the broadest way to say this?
Yeah, well, cloud native infrastructure, right? That whole shebang.
All the keywords. Well, in just a minute, we'll be getting with Dominik and discussing this amazing topic. We had a blog post out a long time ago. Joe wrote it. This is like back in, I would say probably 5 or 6 years ago, talking about Prometheus. And that is along these lines, right? Because that was one of our most popular blog topics for years and years. But things have expanded from those days, 5 or 6 years ago, with observability. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, we started back then with monitoring for our own use. And since I took over the team, there was like a, you know, a bit of a reinvention of how we do observability and a shift away from monitoring towards observability.
Ah, okay. Well, that can help with some of my questions. I know very little about it, right? And I didn't want to open up with what is monitoring and observability, but I would rather know, what is it good for in the end? Why is it used and why is it important?
What is it good for? Yeah, a very good song. And generally, I think it's good for knowing what your system does and what's the state of your system, right? That's the general idea behind both monitoring and observability. Also, what's the difference? Always clear question with that, right? Monitoring generally looks at like specific points in time and like a specific metric, right? And with the goal to understand the health of a system. And observability is looking at the outputs of a system to understand the initials or the internal state of a system, which basically, you know, is more or less the same, just in a way that monitoring is part of observability. But observability goes beyond just metrics. It also looks at log lines. It looks at different events that happened in the system. It looks at the traces and, you know, different processes within your system, which leads to the three pillars of observability, which is like metrics, events, or logs and tracing. And, you know, observability just uses every available output of a system to understand that system state. And with monitoring, we usually focus on the metric part of that.
Okay. So do you always have this just running in the background and it sends you alerts, or how does all that work?
Well, it depends on your, you know, setup. You know, 1 euro in the it depends pod. But the big thing is usually, and coming back to Prometheus, right? Prometheus is the de facto standard for metrics out there, at least in the open source world. And how it works is it looks at an exposed metrics endpoint that gets updated with the relevant timestamp states of a specific metric, for example, CPU usage, and then the app exposes how much CPU it uses, right? And Prometheus will use that endpoint and scrap the information from there and collect it and give it to you in like a time format so that you can see how the CPU usage goes up or down. And that's the typical one with Prometheus. You can also have like log streams where the app streams different events that happen you know, the typical in JavaScript, you would do the console.log that gets streamed to whatever log importer you have, or, you know, whatever log scraper you have. So there's different ways on how to get to information, mm-hmm. also depending which information you're interested in or which data you're interested in.
So you said that CPU usage would be one of the biggest things. Let's say you do see a spike. Does it always mean something that you would need to have a solution for it? Or would you just say, okay, we expected this to happen and let's just let it ride because we're ready for it? Or have you ever witnessed any cases where it spikes and you're like, holy shit, something needs to give, we need to figure it out?
I mean, sure, the question is, what is a spike for you, right?
Right.
Within Kubernetes and especially within digital infrastructure in general, we always work with spikes, right? That's why we have Kubernetes. That's why we have orchestrated infrastructure that has some sort of a scalability to it and some you know, self-healing. So if we look at, you know, a typical online shop, you will always have spikes with that on December, especially if you're like a Christmas presents online shop or something like that, right? A Christmas decoration. There might be more spikes to that than the rest of the year. It is a question of, can your systems take it, right? Do you have enough overall CPU available? Does your system scale horizontally or vertically? It really depends on the different environment that you're working in. And I think that's the very interesting part of observability in general. Like, there's not one solution for every environment, but every environment needs to have their own thresholds, needs to have their own alerts, and so on.
Okay. So from there, Grafana has released, what, Grafana 12 release on May 7th. So fairly new. Why don't you tell us about some of the enhancements and how we're using those at Giant Swarm?
Oh yeah, Grafana 12 is, to be honest, a big milestone, I think.
Awesome.
For me, the biggest improvement in there is that Grafana Drilldown has a new general availability. Grafana Drilldown is a new way on how you can explore logs, because exploring not just logs, also traces and metrics, so all data within Grafana. And how you did that before is that you just have your LogQL or your different query languages like PromQL, and you have a search bar in a way where you can use those query languages to look up your data and filter it down, you know, transform it if you need it. But that's not a very visual way on the first hand. In the second hand, it's hard to know what you actually want to look for if you're just starting investigating an incident, right? Coming back to, for example, your CPU usage is up. You know, maybe you have an alert for it, but you want to understand what's the underlying issue, why the CPU usage is currently having a spike, and, you know, going over its limits and crashing your application. So you want to understand what's actually happening there. And then it's hard to work with a query language where you need to understand the query language and where you need to understand the data. And Drilldown gives you a really nice way where you can just see all of the different options that you have in like a panel view. So there's like, all of the different metrics that are ingested are shown, and their graphs are shown over time, and then you can go in, filter to the different labels that are available there or the different fields, and you can really drill into your information and into your data. And that is a very nice visual way on how to understand your data better, especially if you're new in that environment. And I really like that, that it's now general available and in Grafana 12, like a significant part.
Sounds like a real game changer. So in the past, I guess that just saves tons of time as well. It sounds like in the past you would see this spike you know, as we are using as the example. And then you would need to what, make a script that says, go in and read this and read these things. And if you didn't add those, you wouldn't get that information. And now it's just given to you. Is that what I'm gathering?
So you, yeah, before that, you would have to search for it through the query languages, right? There might be some internal documentations, and there's also the query builder, which gave you already like the options of, hey, here's the different labels that come to place here. But you first need to really go through a long drop-down box and don't really see the data yet before you send up the query. With drill down, you already see all of the, you know, the visualizations of the data, the data points over time or the different amounts of logs in just, you know, it's already there. That's really nice. And it makes Grafana way more interactive, which I really like, because it's not just an API endpoint. It's a visual help. It's a visual aid to make you more efficient. And the Grafana drill down general availability definitely helps you in, you know, this interactiveness.
A couple of other things that they improved outside of the drill down are the alerting improvements to import Prometheus Loki alert rules into Grafana managed alerts and preserving original behavior. Guess that was not there.
Yeah, I mean, there's they basically have this alerting tab in Grafana that replaces, for example, if you use the Mimi alert manager instead of the Prometheus alert manager as we do, then you don't have an alert manager UI in front of it. So we now rely heavily on the Grafana alerting UI, and that becoming better and better, you know, and having some improvements in it is also always good for us. I mean, it's generally always good if you can do more, and the tool to import Prometheus or Loki alerts, alerting rules into Grafana definitely will help you, you know, move all the stuff that you already have into the new UI and really migrate over to, you know, using the Grafana UI for it.
So how do the alerts get to one of our colleagues? Is it not just through Slack? Do you just have it set up and then they get it through Slack, or do they get Slack and then pinged via phone and then it's on GitHub and email? Is it like one of those?
Yeah, so you can configure that on your own, right? There's the alerting configuration that you can set on the alert manager so that it routes alerts. In our case, it depends.
€2.
It depends on the kind of alert. We have some alerts that are just informing, and those are visible in the Grafana UI of the alerting tab, right? There's some fired alerts. We have some alerts that are going to Slack, so they're being notified. So the people are being notified in Slack channels and Slack alerting channels. And then our, you know, on-call alerts, like really alerts that will be managed as incidents, they are going to our on-call tool. Also, like, you know, creating incidents in incident.io, which we use for incident management. So there's a lot of options on how you can handle that. And the alert manager is really, you know, very good in doing the whole routing to different different targets.
Okay, I hate to ask all these basic questions. I know that some of our listeners are like, come on, get to the meat of this. But and then so within Grafana, when you set up the different alerting, how do you structure it to say, okay, this is just something that's happened. It's okay. It's just an FYI compared to a P1. What sort of, it's like a score, or how does that work?
No, that's basically a label with severity. So you can say how severe an alert is, right? And it's a pretty standard label where you can say, you know, it's a incident, or it's an information, or it's a warning. So that's something you can set within the alert rule. where you define what the alert is being triggered by and then
okay.
define meta information around the alert.
Okay. That's what I kind of figure, but I just wanted to make sure before we moved on. So
sure.
We listed a couple of key enhancements. You said, of course, the Grafana drill down was the one of the biggest ones for you to be able to explore metrics, logs, and traces. It also has the GitSync and the CLI tool, but I guess those aren't as impactful for us as the other ones are.
I mean, they are definitely pretty interesting. The Grafana drilldown is just the one that is most visible in Grafana 12 and, you know, uh-huh. changing how people can interact with Grafana. I think the observability as code enhancements that they brought in with GitSync especially is really, really nice as well. I mean, GitSync is yet experimental in its support, but it's a... basically, it helps you version control dashboards and folders in Grafana via Git, which is something that we actually also worked on in the past, because in our whole platform, we strongly believe in GitOps as the more or less best form of delivery mm-hmm. for the environment that we have. And so we basically had a long time where we had the delivery of Grafana dashboards via GitOps. So you provisioned your dashboards as an export from Grafana in a GitOps repository, because we were doing, like, you know, Kubernetes fleet management, and we didn't want to roll out our dashboards or copy our dashboards into individual Grafana instances, but have them automatically rolled out for, you know, those dashboards that we want to have on all of our cluster fleets. And for this, we basically had to do our own workarounds, syncing dashboards that are created in Grafana with dashboards that we created in GitOps. And GitSync will definitely help us there, improve that with out-of-the-box functionality instead of doing it with our own operators. And yeah, the CLI tool, I mean, you know, I really like that you now can manage Grafana resources from the CLI, because that's where most engineers are working and living. And it will definitely also help a bit with that they improve the API in general, will help with any MCPs that will come up in the future and the whole AI hype, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is, like you said, this is a really big rollout. And I'm guessing they don't do such big ones all the time. This is...
Yeah, I mean, it's a major version, right? They just awesome. Done it 12 times in the past, so...
Yeah, do the math. let's talk about some of our talks that we've done and also that you've done. For example, our first talk about how we created the product on Mastering Observability conference. Would you tell us more about that?
Yeah. It's that was a big milestone for us as a product, but also for me individually, because mm-hmm. I've done a couple of talks, you know, for Giant Swarm and Platform Engineering and the CNCF Platform Working Group that I'm a member of in the past. But I've never really done one with the observability product that I actually manage as a product manager, right? So it was about time now that we were a year in with our idea of the observability platform in general. And as said, like the shift away from just a monitoring tool stack to like a really customer-centric observability platform. And that whole journey is what we wanted to present to people by showcasing how we, you know, scaled our monitoring solution and what issues and challenges we faced and how we solved most of those challenges. And so, yeah, that was a big thing for me personally to finally have some time to actually talk about my work, not just some, you know, higher level abstractions and some things, but at the actual day to day, what, you know, my team achieved together in the last year. And that was really nice.
So with when topics come out like mastering something, that means you kind of have to start at the 101, the basics, the entry level person, you know, like the if it was mastering the internet back in 1992, it would be turn your computer on and type in the URL. So I've also noticed when doing those kinds of things, you also run into aha moments yourself, because you go through what the entire process would be and things change from, and sometimes you just do them because you just know to do them. Did you have any big moments where like, ah, that is kind of an odd point that I need to bring up that everybody should know about?
Yeah, I mean, I think all of the points are odd in some way. Mm-hmm. In the sense of of the challenges that we faced, I think with scaling in general, not just in scaling observability, most of the challenges that we faced were not necessarily technical challenges. Right. I mean, there was a big technical challenge, for example, that Prometheus didn't really scale in the way that we wanted. And so we had to migrate over to Mimir, which is like Prometheus on steroids. And you know, really helpful with the scale of data that we get in and get into a central platform. So that was definitely a technical challenge that we had. Mm-hmm. But most of the challenges were organizational and like product challenges, right? And I think that's also the interesting point, because in the conference that I did this first talk, which was Mastering Observability, it was a online conference, and there was a talk before me that explained very well how you create your own OpenTelemetry agents, which was like very technical, right? Because it's like, here, this is how you write an OpenTelemetry agent. And then afterwards was a talk on how you can run Loki on AWS, which again is a very technical talk. And I was in between talking about, you know, the organizational instead of technical challenges that we had with scaling up our observability platform, our own monitoring product in the beginning. And that was a bit, I don't know, it was a bit scary, because as a product manager, you always have like this thing with, oh, everybody will be bored. But I got good feedback and some engagement and good questions after the talk. So I think people were not too, thought of by it not being very technical.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I'd like to know a little bit more about that on the scaling side. What was the biggest, so what I'm guessing is just kind of the processes and who does what and how was the team set up and who's in charge of things. Is that more the direction you're going when you're talking about scaling?
Not necessarily that, okay. Because we had our monitoring team is basically one of our oldest still living teams, mm-hmm. in the organization. And it is a very good core of, like, it's always joked, it's our French team, because yeah. Everybody there is living in France, all the engineers. So excuse my French, but they are really an awesome bunch of engineers, and they have been working on our monitoring for quite a long time, right? Mm-hmm. And the initial idea of the monitoring was also to just use it, because we needed to support, like, part of our offering is that we support whatever managed apps we provide for our customers, which also includes the Kubernetes environment, but also security stuff and connectivity. So different managed apps. And at some point we realized that, you know, now we have a Prometheus on Grafana on every installation, on every environment for our customers, sure. And they use the resources, but they don't really have value from it besides us having an easier time supporting that environment. And most of our customers were setting up their own Prometheus and Grafana on the environments as well. So we duplicated those resources. So the idea was, you know, why don't we open up the Grafana for our customers to use and make the Prometheus in a way that they can also benefit from having them there. So we don't need to duplicate resources, but have one central Grafana that everybody can access, that has access to the environment. And that's how the observability platform was born. And our biggest problems then growing this was, you know, what is actually our product? Because now we have a Prometheus and Grafana, but some customers were asking, also some internal teams were asking for logs. So we looked at Loki, and then a customer came around and said, you know, we want a Grafana per namespace, not just one. So you have multiple Grafanas. And more requirements came in, and to manage the scale that was coming up, we needed to have more and more supporting tools, like, for example, OpsCTL, which was a CLI tool that opened up Grafanas on different environments. So you don't have to just remember which, you know, Grafana URL you had in this environment. And that got enriched with opening up more and more apps, but it was still part of our monitoring team. So, you know, at some point, we had some drift between what customers wanted and how their environments looked. We had tools that were not really playing into the monitoring mission that the team initially had, but were supporting stuff around it. And then the big question was, what is actually our product? And what is our interface to customers? Like, you know, some customers asked us to create dashboards and ingest data for them. And some customers did it on their own. Like, how do we interact with those different customers? And that was a big challenge for us, which led to me not saying observability stack, but observability platform.
Sure. Okay. Do we then meet with our customers on a regular basis and go over? Because I've come from a marketer's point of view, this would be like a Google Analytics or HubSpot or those different kinds of tools that we would use to look at the data and just go over that on a regular basis, or do we just wait for them to reach out and ask questions?
No. You know, we have me as a product manager, and I have to do something the whole day. I can't just play with my thumbs. So in that way, I'm definitely reaching out to customers and trying to understand their needs on a regular basis and their problems. But generally, what we first had to do was, again, define our own product and what our product was and delivering that. And for this, we did, you know, again, we did this transformation from having just a tool stack to a platform, which means, you know, what is a platform for you, right? That's the very first big question that comes up. What actually is a platform? And it was also a question that we needed to align on. So we did a platform workshop where we asked ourselves, you know, what is a platform? And it was pretty clear, you know, a platform has a clear entry point where you go to it, and then multiple customers use the same entry point. So like it's one instance for multiple customers. You know, they can do everything in self-service, and there are services and service instances. And every customer uses the same services, but they create their own service instances. For the observability platform, or for platforms in the monitoring observability context, that could, for example, mean that every customer has the service on that platform to ingest metrics. And then you need a service instance per customer where they can define and configure which metrics to ingest, right, from which sources and so on. And for us, that was clear, right? We have a service where, like, there is a an agent on all of the workload clusters already existing. That's our service. And then the customers can create service monitors, which is a, you know, custom resource in a Kubernetes environment where you can define what endpoints these agents should look at and which data they should, you know, ingest. And so for us, that was pretty clear, right? We have a service that we need to provide to the customers, and those customers have the responsibility to create service instances for themselves in self-service to interact or use that service. And we also decided, you know, what's our services as the observability platform? That's basically threefold. So we have data management for logs and metrics because we didn't want to do traces at this point, just making the journey with logs and metrics really nice. Then we have the whole dashboard management, so visualization of that data. And then we have alerting or alert management, which is that you don't have to look the whole day onto a dashboard and press F5 and do nothing else. You can set up rules when you get alerted, when a specific threshold in an expression is hit, so that you get informed if something happens, and then you can start investigating. And those are our three services, and then customers have different service instances they can interact. And our job is it to really make those service instances or the interaction with the service as nice as possible. And that's, you know, what we were looking at to improving. And that's also where we go to our customers and understand which services are missing for them, or what issues do they have with the current service instances.
Okay, so wow, that seems like quite a journey. Do I dare ask how long that took from start to finish for the observability platform to go
yeah.
live?
I mean, we worked on it roughly over a year.
Yeah.
I think I joined in May last year. And then we started with the whole product kickoff and had a very lovely onsite in Slovenia where the team was really having a painful time with me because I pushed them through understanding what our platforms, right? Understanding what's the platform journey for our observability product and all that. But they were tremendous. And because of that, I think it just took us a year, which is, I think, a very, very big achievement.
Nice one. So now what comes next? You're working on a roadmap. What kind of progress? What are the next steps? How do you make it better?
Yeah. So that's a big topic, right?
Sure.
We now realize because we did our on-site just 2 weeks ago. So, you know, after a year meeting again, looking at the product journey, and I think now we have so many ideas in which direction we can go because we understand our product really well, right? And we understand how our customers interact with our product because now it's part of our daily work to understand that, right? And we have the structure for it. So we have so many options in which direction we go. And one very big part is our multi-tenancy concept, because I think especially with data and with logs and all that, we really have to make sure that there's proper data isolation and only people that, you know, need to see a specific set of data really see that data. I'm very German when it comes to data privacy and the whole GDPR. I think that's really important. So that's what we were working on in the last couple of months, really making that multi-tenancy across all of our observability platform really stick out and work very well. And we actually also prepared a talk for that. So you might see our challenges and ideas around multi-tenancy in Grafana OSS stacks in one of the future, you know, Grafana cons or another conference around observability. But, you know, a very good achievement with it was that we actually managed to onboard the marketing team of one of our customers to our observability platform, which sounds a bit weird at the beginning, but our idea basically is that, you know, a really good observability platform is basically a data platform, right? As I said, like one of our pillars is data management. And as we want to understand the internal state of our system through every potential output, that with observability, that means also like business data is a relevant output of our system to understand the system state. And that customer is actually using logs of their applications to, you know, trans- transfer business data to their marketing team so they see how customers interact with their application. And I really love that, you know, that customer didn't have to set up anything, any complex system just for gathering business data while they already have something that really helps them with that. And so, yeah, I think that's a really nice achievement.
Was that something that when you were looking at it, you said, okay, there's a marketing business use case here? Or did they come to us and say, hey, our marketing team is knocking at the door and they want data?
Yeah, our pitch generally is that we talk about data management more mm-hmm. than we just talk about observability data, right? So when we pitched our observability platform to them and said to them, you know, it's general data management, we don't care and what data you send in, and if you have specific requirements for some data, let us sit together and work out how we can make sure that, you know, that requirement is fulfilled. And they came to us with, you know, we have a very good use case for our marketing team and talked to us with that. So, you know, and their requirement was that marketing team only has access to that specific data, coming back sure. to why we worked on the multi-tenancy and data protection or data isolation in that. But yeah, it was the customer's idea to have that specific use case. Which is also awesome because it shows that customers understand the value of our product, right?
What do you see in the future for the platform with AI?
Oh, yeah, the big AI topic. Do we have a product if we don't have any AI functionalities in it, right?
Not a sellable one.
Yeah. So we definitely have a couple of ideas on what we can do with AI. For me, the important bit is that if you currently talk about the future of AI and all that, there is a lot of people that are just talking about technology, right? And they are just talking about the different models and what's possible with those models. I don't like that necessarily because that leads to a lot of confusion where people say, you know, but, you know, what's the use case? Why would we do that? And that's why a lot of customers and users out there stumble over AI products that don't really give them value. So I always think about, let's turn it around and let's think about value we can deliver. And then maybe AI is the tool that can help us deliver that. Because it definitely has benefits, and I'm not an AI skeptic. I'm just saying, you know, we need to shift our perspective away from the technology and go to the actual value that AI delivers. And I think AI delivers value in a sense that it is a new kind of interaction that a customer can have with various products, mm-hmm. and it definitely can give directions and reviews. It can analyze stuff, right? And I think that's the very powerful thing also in regards of observability. Because as we talked earlier, right, Grafana with its drill down effects or its new drill down functionality already gives you a more visual path in finding out what might be relevant data for you that you have to sure. look at when you have an incident, but you still have to look through those different unfiltered like metrics and logs, right, to see which one might be interesting. If you have like a helper at a hand that already pre-filters that list for you and gives you directions to say, mm-hmm. hey, you know, you had an incident like that in the past and this is what, you know, helped, and or, you know, analyzing the incident, we can see that those might be relevant metrics you should look at. Right, we call that directions, or looking at dashboards, like what dashboards might be helpful in that you know, general dashboard, or which panels would be helpful in that dashboard, what information might you be missing here. And the same goes for reviews. We think, you know, just getting alerts and then getting alerts and you know, closing them and working on them doesn't really give you a hint if you close that alert already 100 times. I mean, right. if you've done it 100 times, you might sure. think about it. But realizing patterns in what alerts you had, what incidents you had and all that, and then give you a summary of, you know, here's last week's alerts and that's how they put, you know, they look if you put them into an overall picture of all of your alerts in the past. Like that's something really alert analytics that can help customers as well. So yeah, I think those are great use cases that we want to look at in the future.
How are you going to tackle that? Is that something that we'll just start running tests on things and building it ourselves? Or is this going to be more of a find an open source plugin? I mean, I know this is not a WordPress product, but find something that you can plug in that will just do it for you.
Yeah, I mean, since we strongly believe in open source, right. For us, it will be some open source tool that we in some way just plug in. Grafana is also doing tremendous work in AI support, but most of that is part of their enterprise model in Grafana Cloud. But, you know, they also have great ideas in that, and maybe some of them will make it to OSS. There's also already an MCP for Prometheus and Grafana and all that, which, you know, is basically an API with meta information that an API can read so that the API does not just have an endpoint of an API, but also understands what it can do with that endpoint.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, there's a lot of things already out there that is somewhat in an experimental stage. And we try to enrich the existing ecosystem with our ideas and with what we are working on, but also use what's out there already. And we are already experimenting. Like, the alert review stuff that I just talked about, right? That's something that is also very helpful for ourselves, right? To understand what are alert patterns and get a summary, like a weekly summary of, hey, here's all the alerts that got, you know, alerted in last week. And this is reactions you did on it and stuff like that. So that's something that we want to do for ourselves, and we already start on experimenting with it. And once we are happy with it, we start experimenting with what customers think about those weekly reviews. And then once you have the reviews, once you have connected the data sources to an AI agent that can work with them, then, you know, you just experiment further in what possibilities you see for that AI agent for other interactions.
Sure.
As well.
Wow. So I'm guessing that's right around the corner for us then.
Yeah. I mean, we are working on it. We are working on it.
Yeah.
So that's the big thing with AI still, right? We're somewhat still at day one when it comes to AI functionality. I know our security expert, Zach, that also had some podcast episodes already. He's always a bit keen on not just pushing out, you know, something like MCPs where we don't know how we can safely secure them at this point, while they can do a lot of harm to the overall system. So we need to, you know, do it right make sure that it's in the same, or that it fulfills the same quality standards that we have to everything else within our overall Giant Swarm products.
Gotcha. So we have to tread lightly, I guess, not just go in and like a bull in a china shop and try to plug everything in and watch it work.
Exactly. Yeah. But on the other side, you know, we definitely see some value there and we want to deliver that value. So you can definitely look forward to some AI announcements in the future, more soonish than later.
Sure. So you've done plenty of talks this year. Any ones coming up that you want to tell us about?
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm doing the observability talk a bit more now that I have like our observability platform at scale talk finally done. And you know, proven in one conference at least. We definitely need to spread the word a bit more. The next one will be the Cloud Native Summit in Munich, end of July. That is a very, very nice event that I'm always looking forward to, and I'm happy, very, very happy to be contributing to it with the observability platform at Scale Talk this year.
Awesome. Well, we do have a lot going on over the next couple of months. your talk in Munich in July. We also have Timo is going to be talking in 2 weeks about AI for infrastructure and how AI will change the life of a platform engineer. So that is also on the docket. We will also have Timo here in probably about 3 weeks because we want to do that talk first, gather some information, and then bring him back. But Dominic, thank you for your time. And it's good to see you as always.
Yeah, thank you, Tommy. And I'm already looking forward to the AI talk with Timo because he has a lot going on in that topic.